December 6, 2015, in the Lucy Coleman studio, I fit the description. I just read a blog by an art teacher, Steve Locke is his name, and I was on Facebook and this article came up. I want to read it to you, and I'm going to take my time, and I want you guys to listen to this. I'm a black man. I'm an older black man. I don't think this would ever happen to me because my hair is white. But if I run into a white woman that feared me as a black man, I'm clean shaven, have a little goatee, my hair's full, I'm not bald headed, I'm 71 years old. But listen to what happened to this. This professor looks like he's in his 30s or early 40s. And he has a picture on his blog, and he said, "This is what I wore today. On my way to get a burrito before work, I was detained by the police. I noticed the police car in a public lot behind Center Street." Now, this is supposed to be in the Boston area somewhere. And he says that I was walking away from my car. The cruiser followed me. I walked down Center Street and was about to cross over to the burrito place, and the officer got out of the car. "Hey, my man," he said. He unstrapped his holster of his gun. I took my hands out of my pocket. "Yes," I said. "Where are you coming from?" "Home." "Where's home?" "Dedham." That's spelled D-E-D-H-A-M. "How did you get here?" "I drove." He was next to me now. The two other officer cars pulled up. I was standing in front of the bank across the street from the burrito place. That's a place that I was going to get lunch before I taught my 1:30 class. There were cops all around me. I said nothing. I looked at the officer who addressed me. He was white, stocky, bearded. "You weren't over there, were you?" He pointed down Center Street towards the Hyde Square. "No, I came from Dedham." "What's your address?" I told him. "We had matched someone matching your description just tried to break into a woman's house." Now, a second officer then stood next to me, white, tall, and bearded. Two police cruisers passed and would continue to circle the block. For the next 35 minutes, I was standing across the street from the burrito place. "You fit the description," the officer said. "Black male, knit hat, puffy coat. Do you have identification?" "It's in my wallet. May I reach into my pocket to get my wallet?" The officer said, "Yeah." Now, thus far, I love the black professor because that's exactly the way I would respond. And I often tell my students in the classroom, when a law enforcement officer asks you a question, answer it directly. Don't ask any other questions. Just do what they tell you to do. I handed him my license. I told him what my current address was. He walked over to the police car. The other cop, taller, wearing sunglasses, told me that I fit the description of someone who broke into a woman's house, right down to the knit cap. Barbara Sullivan made a knit cap for me. She knitted it in pink and browns and blues and oranges and lime green. By the way, I'm looking at the picture and it's a nice cap. I'd love to have one like that. "No one has a hat like this," the writer says. "It doesn't fit any description that person would have had." I looked at the second cop. I clasped my hands in front of me to stop them from shaking. "For the record," I said to the second cop, "I'm not a criminal. I'm a college professor. I was wearing my faculty ID around my neck, clearly visible with the photo." Now that warns me. I better keep mine strapped on me because if they see me walking across the campus, even though I look like a straggly old white-haired professor, they may see me as a gangster that went across the street and tried to break in somebody's house, right? You fit the description. So we just have to check it out, the first officer continued as he handed me my license. We have the victim, and we need her to take a look at you to see if you're the person. Now, it was at that moment that I knew that I was probably going to die, the writer says. I am not being dramatic when I say this. I was not going to get into that police car. I was not going to present myself to some victim. I was not going to let someone tell the cops that I was guilty when I was in that car. And I already told them that I had nothing to do with any robbery. I was not going to let them take me anywhere, because if they did, the chance that I was going to be accused of something that I did not do rose exponentially. In other words, the odds of him dying or going to jail was rising out of proportion. He says, I knew in my heart I was not going anywhere with these cops, and I was not going somewhere to some white woman to decide whether or not I was a criminal, especially after I told them that I was not a criminal. This meant that I was going to resist arrest. This meant that I was not going to let the police put their hands on me. If you were wondering why people don't go to the police, I hope this explains it to you. Something weird happened when you are on the street being detained by the police. People look at you like you're a criminal. The police are detaining you so clearly that you must have done something, otherwise they wouldn't have done that to you. No one made eye contact with me. I was hoping that someone I knew would walk down the street and come up to one of the shops that got off on 39 bus to come out. Oh, he's saying that he wishes someone would come up and say, hey, that's Steve Locke. What the blank are you detaining him for? Well, the cop decided that they would bring the victim to come over to me on the street. They asked me to wait. I said nothing. I stood still. Thanks for cooperating, the second cop said. This is probably nothing, but it's our job, and you do fit the description. 5'11", black male, 160 pounds, with a little more than the knit cap. A little more than 160. Thanks for that, I thought. An older white woman walked behind me and up to the second cop. She turned and looked at me, then back at him. You guys sure are busy today. I noticed a black woman further down the block. She was small and concerned. She was watching what was going on. I focused on her red coat. I slowed my breathing. I looked at her from time to time. I thought, don't leave, sister. Please don't leave. Now, this is what grabbed me in the article, because here's a black man, well enough to take care of himself, a professional, and he thought that he was going to die. And he was saying to this woman under his breath, please don't leave. The first cop said, where do you teach? I answered, Massachusetts College of Art and Design. I tugged at the lanyard of my ID tag because he had the ID tag on him, you see. Now, how long have you been teaching? 13 years. We stood in silence for about 10 minutes. An unmarked police car pulled up. The first cop went over and talked to the driver. The driver kept looking at me as the cop spoke to him. Now, I figured this out, ladies and gentlemen, because this is saying, do we take this one down to do this? Because, see, that's what they do. They choose people. And that's why I told my college students, especially the black males in the classroom, if you stop by a policeman, just answer the question, boys. Don't ask why you stopped me. I didn't do nothing. I want a lawyer. And raising your voice. And I got my... Because you have no freedoms, no rights. This professor was right. He was going to die if he made the wrong move, if he did not know how to respond around a police officer. Now, this is Sunday morning that I'm doing this webcast. And I'm thinking about this. And I'm saying, you know, this is a crying shame in America. A crying shame. When you got terrorists, wait, here in San Bernardino, blowing up people, killing them, shooting them, and all this stuff. And wait a minute. Let me find my place. Okay. An unmarked car pulled up. The cop went over to talk to the driver. The driver kept looking back at the cop as he spoke to him. I looked directly at the driver. He got out of the car. I'm Detective Cardoza. I appreciate your cooperation. I said nothing. I'm sure these officers told you what is going on. They did. Where are you coming from? From my home in Dedham. How did you get here? I drove. Where is your car? It's behind the Bacora. I pointed to Center Street. Okay, the detective said. We're going to let you go. Do you have the key that you can show me? Yes, I said. Now, what that key is, just like I have the keys to my car and my house in my pocket. I've never heard of anything like this in my life, ladies and gentlemen. What if I had my keys somewhere else? What if I gave my keys to another person because they were going to go somewhere in the college and I said, meet me back there, and I didn't have the keys? Would that have been ground enough for them to stomp my ass? I'm sorry for the language. But what in the heck has a key have to do with anything? Wait a minute. Look. All right. We're going to let you go. Do you have a key? You can show me. Yes, I said. I'm going to reach into my pocket and pull out my car key. Okay. I showed him the key to my car. The cop thanked me for my cooperation. I nodded and turned to go. Sorry for screwing up your lunch break, the second cop said. I walked back towards my car, away from the burrito place. I saw the woman in red. Thank you, I said to her. Thank you for staying. Are you okay? She said. Her small, beautiful voice was lined with concern. Not really. I'm really shook up. I have to get to work. I knew something was wrong. I was watching the whole thing. The way they are treating us now, you have to watch them. I'm so grateful you were there. I kept thinking to myself, don't leave, sister. May I give you a hug? Yes, she said. And she held me as I shook. See, now this grown man was shaking in the arms of another black woman because he's alive. And I know, man, he's alive. We only have one life. God only gives us one in this body. May I give you a hug? She says, yes. And she held me as I shook. Are you okay? The professor said, no, I'm not. I'm going to have a big cry in my car. I have to teach. You're a Massart? My friend is a Massart. What's your name? She told me. I realized that we were Facebook friends. I told her this. I'll check you out on Facebook, she said. And I put my head down and walked to my car. My colleagues was in a shared office, and she was able to calm me down. I had about 45 minutes before I went into the class and began to teach. I had forgotten the lesson that I planned. I had forgotten the schedule. You see, and I love this part of the article because he's saying that because of this incident, everything that was important to him was declined because in his beautiful black mind, all he could think about was his spirit piercing up through the skies, leaving the planet and his dead body on the concrete when white cops surround you asking you crazy questions, and his life hinged on what a white woman said. Now, do you recall back in the day, the 50s and the 40s and the 30s and the 20s, if a white woman said that a black man across the street whistled at her, touched her, or whatever, what they did to those black men? They took them and hung them without a trial, without investigation, just on the quibble of a white woman. And I'm sorry, but when I look at these concerts and see these brothers dancing and squirming all over the stage, it's a hell of a lot of white women screaming at them. And those same old stereotypes exist. Well, you know, a brother, he's more exciting than a white man is sexually. And these white men, you know, this kind of petty foolishness is still existing. And unfortunately, in the minds of many policemen, because they arrest black men, proportionally, they got them in prison. They see them naked. They compare their bodies with the black man's bodies. And then they cop an attitude. And when you, well, you got my drift. You see, I'm just keeping it real. I'm 71. I'm not living in a dreamscape. I still love God. I'm going to always love God. But I'm going to tell you, if you are a young black, a middle-aged, if you black, be careful. You have to learn how to speak to people. Now, I know, I could speak just like this. Nick could just knock me in the head and plant some heroin on me and said, oh, with this old nigger had it on him anyhow. See, I know that they could do that too. But I just, hey, I would just want them to come in my office after I'm dead and I'd let the press take a picture of two pictures. That's on my little console over there. I wish they would do that to me. Now, let me finish up the article. I forgot the lesson that I planned. I forgot the schedule. I couldn't think of how to do my job. I thought about the fact that, oh man, my word counted for nothing. They didn't believe that I wasn't a criminal. They had to find out. My word was not enough for them. My ID was not enough for him. And that's what blew my mind, because if I was a cop, I'd look at the ID. Man, this guy's a professor. He didn't break in that house. Come on, keep going. I mean, that's just reasonable. Man, that's reasonable doubt. What is this dude? His picture's on his college ID. That's who he is. Now, wait a minute. Let me tell you what happened to me. I had gotten a ticket at my college, and I went to the sheriff's station to get the ticket removed. And so he said, well, do you have a sticker on your car? I said, yes, I have a sticker on my car. I'm faculty. You're faculty? Yes, I'm faculty. Well, how do I know you have a sticker on your car? I said, you know, officer, I don't even want to talk with you. I'm bringing this ticket back, and I expect to have this ticket canceled. Well, I can't promise you that I'm going to... Even though he knew I was faculty and a black man, then the sergeant told me he ain't going to cancel that ticket. I said, is that your final answer? That's what I said to him. Because he didn't know who I was. But you see, he's a cop, and he ain't black. And a black man ain't supposed to be no faculty getting paid more than, well, maybe I'm not getting paid more than him. I know that. But wait a minute, they're just paying this black man to stand up and talk? Yeah, they are. And this dude was so fat, I think his waistline was about 56 inches. And he couldn't run. Anyhow, after much back and forth, he said, well, give me the ticket. And I gave it to him. And I said, now, are you sure that I will not have a bill coming up on my license and everywhere? He says, no, no, no. I'll send a copy that I've canceled the ticket. But it took about 15, 20 minutes. So I understand exactly what he says. He says, my ID was not good enough for them. He says, my handmade, one-of-a-kind knit hat was an object of suspicion. My Ralph Lauren quilted blazer was only a puffy coat. That white woman could just walk up to a cop and talk about me like I was an object of regard. I wanted to go back and spit in their faces. The cops were probably deeply satisfied with how they handle the interaction, how they didn't escalate the situation, how they were respectful and polite. I imagine sitting in the back of the police car while a white woman decides if I were a criminal or not, if I look guilty being detained by the cop's image, how vile I became sitting in the cruiser. I knew I could not let that happen to me. I knew that if that were to happen, I would be dead. Nothing. I am nothing. I do nothing. I have means. I have means anything because I fit the description. See, everything that he's worked for, everything that he's accomplished is gone because he fit the description. I had to confess to my students that I was a bit out of it today. I asked them to bear with me. I had to teach. After class, I was supposed to go to the opening for First Friday. He said he went home. And then they have about 744 posted comments, and of course I'm not going to read them all, but I'll do that later on today because I do want to read it. Well, I'm just going to read this one thing and then I'll let this rest your hearts. Amadou Diallo, New York City, shot 41 times outside of his home. How about this one? Kamini Gray, New York City, killed for adjusting his waistband. How about this one? Kendrick McDade, Pasadena, unnamed, shot because of a suspected robbery. How about this one? Oscar Grant, San Francisco, killed for riding the subway home on New Year's Eve. Timothy Stansberry, New York City, killed for no effing reason by police walking around a housing project. How about this one? Kenneth Chamberlain Sr., White Plains, killed when his life alert heart monitor went off and he wouldn't let police inside of his home. They broke down the door anyway and murdered him. What? Man, I can't read anymore. Let me end up this webcast by saying this, ladies and gentlemen, on this Sunday morning. You know, if I were behind the pulpit preaching, okay, if I were at the vet and the room was filled like it usually was, man, look at the countless posts on this thing. Oh, my gosh. A lot of people are, I'm just scrolling down as I'm talking to you guys. And it spawned a conversation. So I'm glad I read it on my webcast. Here's one from Anna. She says, I'm so very glad that I don't live in America. Can you believe that? And I have to share with you that my son Mario has left the country again. He spent the night in Moscow. He should be in Barcelona now. Again, with this final epithet, he says, I am leaving to never come back. We had a long discussion. He was only here for about, not even a good 5 months, 4 months. But we had a long discussion about police. I told him because he was going to spend about 12 hours or something like that in Moscow before the flight to Barcelona. And I told him to be careful. I told him to stay in the airport. I said, don't leave the airport. You're an American. You look like an Arab. You're dressed in dark clothing. You got that guitar that could be witnessed as a weapon. Security is on edge about everything. Stay in the airport until your flight comes, because he wanted to walk around. And maybe he did. He wanted to walk around Moscow. I said, man, are you crazy? A black man's life from America in America ain't worth nothing. I got one quote here, and this is the problem in our country. He said, "You were resisting arrest. They should have shot you." I was about a day ago. Somebody called him a troll. And then you see, because what happens? Now, here's one right here. He says, "Professor Locke, I am so sorry that you had to go through this. I know you can imagine how much harder it could be even for someone without your education, eradication, and obvious gentleness to resist what was being attempted here. The shadow of Tom Robinson and Malaya Ewell still falls across society, it seems. Best wishes to you from the UK." I have to look those two names up and see who they are. Because now here's someone from the United Kingdom writing this black man in America saying, "Because of your wisdom." And I teach that to my students in the classroom. If a cop pulls you over, I teach them. One Hispanic kid said, "I'm fearful. I'm going to die if they pull me over, Mr. Coleman." And I said, "You are not going to die if you use wisdom. Answer the questions. Where do you live?" "I live down on that street right there." "What are the numbers to give them the numbers to your house? Come on. Do you have your ID on you?" If you say no, wait a minute. Sarah writes about this and she says, "This made me cry. Maybe it's because I'm a MassArt grad who lived in JP, so could picture this going down. But also you gave such a vivid description and my heart was pounding just reading this. It reminded me of taking a friend around about running and being black and well built. And he wanted to run, but he would have to wear bright, expensive running gear, okay, from head to toe to avoid having people call the cops." Now, you know, that's a shame. And then he says, "And then what about the young black men who weren't professors, who have done nothing wrong, who have no credentials to call on? We white people need to get our, I got to read it like she said it. We white people need to get our shit together. Thank you for this post." See, I fit the description. Wait a minute. Somebody has a link here. I just tapped into the link. Ah, yeah. See, they said the service is not available because obviously, well, yeah, leave that page. Now let me go back to it. Because you know what happens. When you go into pages like that, what they do is they put viruses there. Oh my God, they got another, man, they got a picture. Look at here. This was, oh man, get off my leg. Oh my God. And I'm watching a video of three cops. It's happening all over the country. All over the country. I'm not even putting the sound on this. I'm just looking at the pictures. He's continuously kicking the officers. And the citizens just stand around with their cell phones and take pictures of this. And these cops with these big, massive arms. Man, look at that. They got the black man's pants pulled down. His ass is showing all in the street like he's an animal. It is what they do to us. Oh, it is terrible. Wait a minute. Let me pause you guys for a second. I got to hear this. All right, I'm back. It was sent to me on my Facebook post from the other side of black history. Okay, 14 police officers showed up in San Francisco to detain a homeless man with a prosthetic leg. And they were asking the police department why. It doesn't make any difference. One of the civilians on the side said that he was kicking at the officers with a prosthetic leg, which was a weapon. Well, whatever it was. He was a homeless guy, and I just don't think that it took 14 officers standing around doing things like that. I just don't think that that should take place. But anyhow, back to the article. We are living in perilous times. You know, I tell people all the time, and the young man asked me, John, how can you ask people to love other people, and you see this ill treatment going on? How can you ask people to love people if this is constantly going on? Well, I can only ask people of faith to love people. I can't ask people that are not people of faith, because they're incapable of loving. Oh, what a nice picture of Mario Canto at the party that they gave for him the other day. Okay. No, I can suggest that a person can really look at what's going on in the world today and at least try to find their place. But in this country, I think that is going to be very difficult to do, to find your place, because I think that we're going back to the Stone Age. So for those of you that believe in God and right and justice and stuff like that, pray for people like the professor, that we would have more wisdom in the inner city, because we need that kind of wisdom. I commend the professor on his calmness and patience when somebody's trying to put you in a vice grip and kill you. Now me, you guys know me already. I don't care about dying. I've lived long enough. But if they kill me, my people going, and I only got two people left on the planet. Hey, check this out. I only have two people left on the planet who represents me. So that means that when I die, and if they kill me, my two people is going to get a lot of money, because they're going to see I was working for the PD. I was a chaplain for the PD. But I'm a black man. I fit the description, right? To some racists, it don't make no difference what description you have. They would try to marginalize your life. And check it out. The more educated you are, the heavier jobs you have, that's why they have to break you down. Because that's not supposed to happen. I learned this, and I really don't have anything against Anglo people. I have a hell of a lot of things against black people, because a lot of the problems that we have in our lives stems from our own stupidity and ignorance. Now, I'm just going to be truthful in saying that. Not all black people are tied tight, okay? A lot of them want something for nothing. A lot of us, I'll put me in there, not me, because I don't think that way. I'm very conservative-minded. I was telling somebody I wouldn't mind if Trump got elected or not. Brother looked at me like I was crazy. You think I'm concerned about how you... I don't care if Trump's the president. He's not going to affect me. He's going to affect somebody that's coming across this border illegally. And that's what I expect him to affect. Why would I care if Trump is president? Do I pay my taxes? I owe 3 years back taxes, but I'm still paying on it. Why? See, I'm not a racist. I'm not a bigot. I have nothing against anybody. See, why does it affect you if Trump is elected as president? I wonder why it would affect some of my listeners. Why? It has no effect on your life unless you're doing something criminally wrong. No. I don't care whether Trump is a president of the United States or not. None of us should be concerned about that. That is not important. They got these two black gals. Oh, I know they're all over YouTube. Let me go to it. I know they are. And they were giving props to Donald Trump and the black people across the nation. I was reading the things. I can't find it now, but they were going crazy, and I laughed. I said, because these girls been on the internet doing those comedy spoofs like that. And these people, wait a minute, Ben Carson is talking about on being a black president. This is interesting. They have a YouTube clip. And this was done by CNN. It got over 512,000 hits a month ago, being a black president. Man, they even have a YouTube clip here saying what really happened during the Bin Laden raid. Really? No, but should it affect you who the president is? Oh, man, oh, yeah. All right, I'm gonna cut this webcast sharp at 35 minutes. You got my point. You brothers, be careful out of there. You should sit down and talk with your sons. If you love your boys, you talk to them and you tell them how to speak to law enforcement. You look them in the eyes and you answer the questions. And the questions that you can't answer, tell the officer, I don't know. You know, like if the officer says, what if you couldn't get through on this street? Which other way would you get through to get to your place? You should just say, you know, officer, I don't know. I never thought about that. That's the way you would answer that question. He asked you a stupid question. Don't say that's a stupid question. That's what he wants you to do. He's pushing you to, hey, don't let his antithesis screw up your thesis. Your thesis is, see, the professor spewed out some intelligence. You see, and so since the professor used intelligence, he lived. Now, he said he wasn't going to get in the back seat of that car. What if that white woman that had come up to the professor, I can't even stop this cast, I'm still talking. What if the white woman that came up to that professor said, yeah, that was him, and he, man, what if the professor had taken the train to work and didn't have a car? And didn't have a car key. See, I'm thinking about all those things. What if the professor, because he was a big man. He's a big black man. And everybody's afraid of these big black men. We had to be big. We come from the continent. Genes and chromosomes. Europeans are smaller people at times. Some of the Germans are huge. Some of the Yugoslavs are huge. The Russians are huge, but black men that are big are big. Why are we a threat? Man, it's like we're going all the way back to the slavery days, man. You know what they used to call them? Mandingo got loose. Wait a minute. What you doing looking at him? Don't even look at him. Oh, my gosh. Oh. Listen, thanks. Pray for this country. All right, let me comment on that. No, time for prayer is over. God has judged this country. This country's done. And unfortunately, I'm still here with it. I was preaching about it. I said, there's going to come a time when your prayer is not even going to go up to God unless it has to do with glorifying his name. I was in the bed last night before I went to sleep, and I was on the regular TV, and I went up the channels. You know how you go up the channels and you're looking for certain things, and there were some preachers on there, and the preachers was talking about sins of the flesh. And this black preacher said, this is what he said. He said, any of you even touch yourself, sex with yourself, anything without being married to your wife, you are going to hell. And I said, what? I can't believe the preachers. I can't believe the police. I can't believe half of the things that I'm seeing. Hey, man, they even have a picture of me on Watch It Again on YouTube. Let me see. My Spiritual Elitism Part 2, 17 minutes long. I have 97 views. How about that? 97 views. Anyhow, 97 people have gotten some religious training. I may watch that myself, because I'm talking about the preacher that places himself above people. Man, look at this little thing. The next president inherits World War III. I think I'll watch a couple of YouTube clips. Hey, thanks for coming to my site. This is Pastor John PJ, your internet pastor, asking you to stay in the Word of God, read the Bible personally. Love people around you. God loves you. He's given you the trait to love. Love them, even though they are misled. You're going to find more people that are not loving than more people that loves. I really commend the professor, though. That was a nice block. God bless. You guys know the drill. Stay in the Word.